Someone once said that a Christian is only as strong as his prayer life. There's a great deal of truth in this because prayer is simply your direct communication with God. When you read the Bible, God speaks to you, and when you pray, you speak to God. Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ cannot grow without proper communication. And we're going to see there in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses, we'll start in verse 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And moderation is just another word for gentleness. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then we see there in James chapter 5. You can hold it there in Philippians. We're coming back. But James chapter 5, Hebrews and James, verse 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." There's a quote here from Leonard Ravenhill, who wrote, "Poverty stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers and few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." And so what can be accomplished through prayer? As we see there in Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We see, first of all, prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. I've been around guys that profess to be Christians, and I was doing Bible studies with them, and they would have issues or having problems with somebody in particular, and I says, "Well, when's the last time you prayed for them?" And in most cases, they've never done it. They never prayed for somebody else. But prayer changes us. When we pray and ask God to work, it's usually, say we're praying for somebody in particular, it's usually not them. It's usually us that gets changed. Prayer changes us. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5 and 6, one of our favorite verses or passages in the scriptures. It's actually go back to verse 4. It says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, prayer changes us. The first thing we see here is we need to trust. We must trust God with all of our heart. If you can't trust somebody, then you most likely won't go to them and ask for something. And that's usually the case, is most people do not trust the Lord. But this verse says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." We tend to, looking at myself, we tend to look at our own understanding. We tend to do things the way we want to do them, but we fail to trust the Lord. We fail to do, and we fail to lean on him. But he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We're going to turn back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verses 3 and 5. It's another place. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." There's another thing we lack in Christianity today, as we see around us, is commitment. People would fail to want to commit. And simply commit here means to roll over, roll everything onto the Lord, to roll thy way upon the Lord. But it says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That coincides with Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, which is a very similar verse. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And then it goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, it says, "By mercy and truth, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." It's purged by the fear of the Lord. Men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's so much that we can say right there, but by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There's a lack of fear for God today. There's a lack of reverence for God, his word, his house. I mean, there's so many people. We need prayer changes us, and we need to simply trust the Lord. We see in Psalm 118 and verse 8. Psalm 118 and verse 8. This is the middle verse of the Bible. This is also a very good verse. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. And then it says also, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Again, it's better to trust the Lord. We see in Isaiah 26, excuse me, in verse 4, "Trust ye the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So there has to be a trust. There has to be a trust. We must trust God with all our heart. See, if we go back in the Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So it starts with trust, but then we see that it's with all thine heart. There needs to be an earnestness. There needs to be an earnestness in prayer. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Not only do we see there in prayer, we need to seek God with all of our heart, we need to trust him, but we also, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So we need to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and with all thy might. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So we need to saturate ourselves, which it gives us a greater love for God, but we need to saturate ourselves in God's word. We need to saturate ourselves with the things of God. But we do it with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and all of our might. But we see there in Psalm 119 and verse 2, we need to do it out of obedience. We need to do it out of obedience. says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Again, it's about with all thine heart. We need to seek God with all of our heart. Prayer changes us. We need to do it out of obedience. In verse 34 of chapter 119 of Psalms, it says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We need to do it in obedience. In obedience. So we see that prayer changes us. We need to trust the Lord. We need to do it, love him with all of our heart in prayer. We need to give him our whole body. We need to do it out of obedience. But then in Joel chapter 2, as I was looking through things this morning, there was a little abbreviation, a J and then an L, and I thought, where in the world is that? And then I realized it was the book of Joel. And we don't get into the minor prophets too often. But Joel chapter 2. In verse 12. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. If I can get here. We got all these small pages and they're only one or two pages wide. Joel and then Amos. Found it. Finally got it. It's chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. It says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. So this one, we do it in prayer, we do it in trust, in love, in obedience, but then also there needs to be in repentance. We turn from our wicked ways, we turn from our wrong ways. It says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. That's giving and putting everything, setting everything aside and turning to God. But then we also see that back in Philippians chapter 4, we're going back there for a brief moment, Philippians chapter 4. It says, be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with all things, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So prayer changes us. It changes that we need to come to a point in our life that we're going to trust God with all of our heart. A result of that brings peace. It brings peace, as it says here in verse 7. It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the question is, what is our heart attitude? What is our heart attitude? We see there in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34. And this is just a kind of going along with this. He gives us the peace of God that passes all understanding. And when we're committing to him, when we're giving him our whole heart, when we're trusting in him. But in verse 34, it says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And this is because he came. There's three different types of peace here. The first one is we see peace is spoken of the scripture in three ways. Peace with God. First of all, that's being justified. We make peace with God. And when we're justified, when we trust Christ for our salvation, we make peace with God. And then once we have that peace with God, when we enter into salvation through Christ, we're going to come back to that in just a second, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when we enter salvation by grace through faith, that gives us that peace with God, and that's through Christ. But then we see there the peace of God that is talking about in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 is an inward peace. It's a state of the soul. When we come to the point to where we're trusting God with all of our heart, we're putting our whole being into Him, He's going to give us that peace that passes all understanding. And a picture of that, I was listening to a message a long time ago. I can't remember who was preaching at the time, but they had mentioned it's a picture of a little bird sitting on the side of a cliff in its nest under kind of a little cleft on the side of the hill, the cliffs. And there's a grand storm going on around it, but that bird was just in simple peace, just sitting there in the midst of the storm. And that's the same thing that God does in our hearts. He does for us. There could be a lot going on around us, but yet we can live and have peace within our hearts. But then we also see the peace that they were talking about here in verse 34. They were looking at peace on earth. And so when the Jews were looking for the coming king, they were looking for Jesus to be the king, a reigning king to take over and help them win victory over Rome, because Rome was putting pressure on them and was ruling at the day. But that's not what Christ was coming for. We see there in verse 34, it says, "Think not I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a mother-in-law against her mother-in-law. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. For he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So there was three types of peace. We have a peace with God, we have the peace of God, and then there's a peace on earth, which that won't come until Christ comes to reign. And that's when we'll find peace on earth. I'll just wait. So prayer changes us. We see in Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 26 through 28. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helped with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose." So sometimes we get to a point in our lives where we really don't know what to pray for. But it says here that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, says, "Also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Sometimes we get to a point in our life and we just don't know what to pray for. So the Holy Spirit helps us. He aids us in such a fashion. So we see some... So we're just simply not able to pray. But then we see there, not only does prayer change us, through prayer we fight the spiritual warfare. Through prayer we fight the spiritual warfare. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 18 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In verse 18 it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." So by doing all this, first of all, we're able to stand. When we put on the whole armor of God, we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We see a perfect example is Jesus in the wilderness in chapter 4 of Matthew, where he is tempted in the wilderness, and he uses every time the word of God to defend off Satan. Satan cannot stand. He does not have the power to stand against God's word. So there's a perfect example, and I don't understand. It just came to mind. We have some that believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers. How can that be? It can't, because that's not what the scripture says. Satan cannot stand against Christ, because Christ was God in the flesh. But he cannot stand against God's word. But it says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the word of God. But then it also says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So we need to be busy about praying. We need to spend some time in prayer. I don't think we pray enough. I know I don't. It says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. But we also see, not only in Colossians, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. How in the world do we pray without ceasing? Well, we just be in an attitude of prayer, always continue to think about others and continue to think about how we can pray for them, how we can, we always have lost loved ones in our family that we can pray for. We have those people we work around that we can pray for, people we work for we can pray for. There's lost people all around us. We always have something to pray about, but do we take that time? We see in Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, in verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And even though Christ prayed for him, even though he told Peter, Peter did not take into consideration. But then he said there, Satan hath desired to have you, that you may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And there's a time later on in the scripture where I'm sure Peter was feeling down in the dumps, that he had failed, that it felt like he had felt that he had failed the Lord. But the Lord told him, and they said, and bring Peter with you. But who in the book of Acts, we see who was the one leading the disciples? Peter. Peter, he come back and he became more bold. But that just goes to show you, when we do fail, failure is not acquitting. Failure is just sometimes we fail, but then God gives us a second chance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 says, we start in verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in Christ, or which is in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace. from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. We give thanks to God always for you all. It's just another aspect of it. Through prayer, we fight spiritual warfare. We put on the whole armor of God. We spend time praying. We need to be praying for each other that we fail not, as Christ has prayed for Peter, as we've seen there in Luke chapter 22. But we also need to give thanks to God always for each one of us. We need to thank God for everybody we have here on a continual basis. See, through prayer, we acknowledge our submission to the will and the way of God. It says in verse 3 of chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So through prayer, we acknowledge our submission to God. We submit our wills to Him. He can't use us until we're willing to submit. He can't use us until we're willing to be used of Him. Until we die to self, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, he says, I die daily. That's something that has to take place daily. Why? Because our little egos will stand in the way of what God will have us to do, things that we want to do. Prayer places the believer in an attitude of expectancy. The individual who does not pray tends to depend upon human invention, circumstances, and expediency to make decisions. When we start praying and asking God, sometimes we pray for things and God answers our prayers, and then we can't believe that He answered them. And when we simply were praying for that. But prayer gives us an attitude of expectancy. We need to pray for those. Prayer changes us. Through prayer, we fight the spiritual warfare, as we've seen there in Ephesians chapter 6. Through prayer, we acknowledge our submission to the will and the way of God. But we just got to remember, prayer places the believer in an attitude of expectancy. We see, that's why it's important to keep a prayer journal. Write down your prayers, and then when God answers it, you can write it down. You've got something to go back and reference. So it reminds us of how God is working in our lives and how God does answer prayer, so we don't forget that. Because we get so busy, tied up in everything around us, that we tend to forget what God has done and will do in our lives. Let's pray.